Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Holcim India transaction call. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Svetlana Iodko from Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us on such short notice. Today, we are going to hold a brief 30-minute call to discuss our Indian transaction. With me in the room are our CEO, Jan Jenisch, and our CFO, Geraldine Picaud. For the sake of time, please limit yourself in the Q&A session to one question only. Shouldn't you get an opportunity to ask your question directly, we'll take a note and we'll connect to each of you individually right away after the call. Right now, I'm pleased to hand over to our CEO, Jan. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. I'm very excited to give you some more background on the transaction, and then also very happy to discuss certain details with you. We have announced the transaction yesterday on Sunday at 6 p.m. in order to be not only ahead of the Swiss stock market, but also ahead of the Mumbai stock market, where we have 3.5 hours time difference. So I hope you had some time to review the material. Besides the press release, we have put together a fact sheet for you, which is available under the investor relations section. So we made, I think it was a bit rumored in the press already. We were busy the last 3 months or so to negotiate with various parties to try if we can find a win-win solution. So win-win on the one hand, of course, to get a superior valuation for our Indian assets. On the other hand, to find the right owner who is respectful to our employees, customers, and who takes the business to the next era of growth. I think we have done this. We have found a fantastic new buyer, the Adani Group, who will be here safeguarding a great future for the business. For us at Holcim, we are very happy with the valuation, and this gives us now a lot of room to continue to develop Holcim into the future. We'll accelerate our strategy. If you recall, we just spent more than 5 billion Swiss francs in the last 15 months only to expand into solutions and products with various acquisitions, and now we are very confident that we can continue that also here in the coming months and years. I think with this, I'm very happy to have your questions and comments.
The first question comes from Cedar Ekblom from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Morning, everyone. My question relates to any approvals needed for the deal to close, risks around it not closing. I know that in your report you say that you need Competition Commission of India approval. I'd like to understand why that is, considering that Adani doesn't seem to be a large player in the cement industry at all. Does that relate to previous investigations around price fixing? I believe that there's some issues there that need to be resolved before you can exit. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Seda, and thank you for your question. We have quite a simple contract, so basically the only condition precedent is the approval of the Competition Commission of India. This has nothing to do with any potential litigation. This is a standard process. You have that in the EU, you have that in the US, and as you mentioned already, as Adani doesn't have building materials in his portfolio today, it is expected that this will be a very fast approval. Besides, this is a simple contract. We are basically even selling our company holding the shares of the two businesses. So very straightforward and no further conditions, no further due diligence or anything involved here in the transaction. So cross fingers, this should go quite smooth over the next 2 to 3 months.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Lars Kilberg from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Just a quick question on the 6.4 billion in cash proceeds. Is there any tax implications from this? And also, of course, the importance here is to allocate that capital. So what is your urgency to do that, and what is your pipeline you can do that?
Okay. Lars, good morning. So according to our analysis. This is a tax-free transaction. Never know if any complication arises, but we assume that we will get the 6.4 billion Swiss franc as net proceeds. So it's very good from that perspective as well. Again, we have just spent over 5 billion in the last 15 months, and we hope we can keep a similar pace, so we will put this money to work very fast.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gregor Kuglisch from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. Quick question just on whether you are assuming or sort of giving any kind of guarantees or whether it's just very simple, you're selling your shareholding and that's it. I mean, I'm thinking, for instance, about the outcome of the antitrust investigation. So are you just selling without any sort of guarantees or liabilities that you're retaining? Thank you.
Hi, Gregor. Yeah, that's correct. We have a simple share deal and even selling this within the holding company, so there's no reps, warranties, or indemnifications from our side.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Arnaud Lehmann from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. My question is regarding CO2 emissions. Ambuja and ITC are quite large in terms of cement capacity for you. What is the implications on your CO2 emissions per ton of cement produced? I think the Indian companies historically have had quite a good performance on this topic. Does that make your CO2 targets more challenging to achieve? Thank you.
Good morning, Arno. I think there are two sides to this. I think more important is that we have around one quarter of our total CO2 emission is in India, so we reduce our CO2 footprint quite significantly. You are also correct that the clinker factor is one of the lowest globally in India. This is not due to sustainability. This is simply due to a lot of minerals being available in the Indian market. And so for us, again, we are, how do we say this? We are, I think it's good that we reduce our CO2 exposures overall so significantly. And for our ambition per ton or something, we will make a precise calculation, but it doesn't really change much for us. We have our sustainability footprint here to move into circular construction, complete all the alternative fuel projects we are having, and drive all our new eco-friendly products out there. So that doesn't change. I think it's rather supportive here.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Yassine Touahri from On Field Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. A few questions. You're mentioning a tax-free transaction. Does it mean that there will be no capital gain on transaction and that you're expecting no tax on capital gain? Then a second question on the process. Will the purchase of the offshore holding company, which owns Holcim Indian business, avoid the need for Adani Group to make an offer on Ambuja's minority? And then the last question, after selling your Indian asset, what do you expect will be the solution and products division as a percentage of your revenue and as a percentage of your operating income?
Okay, hey, good morning. I think first the capital gain tax is also included in my previous answer, so we expect that we have no taxes to be paid for the 6.4 billion of proceeds. The offer is has to be made, so according to my information, the Adani Group has to make also an offer for all the other shareholders. So this is, I think, properly planned. And the last question was around the percentage, how it changes. I think we are on the right track here to transform Holcim into a balanced portfolio. We will always do cement. We will decarbonize cement, but that's our DNA. That's a big part of our future. But we are happy to build up the other segments. most prominently solutions and products, and of course this transaction helps. I'm not sure, we don't have it in the fact sheet yet, the effect, but I think Svetlana will provide you soon with the exact numbers, how much cement exposure is reduced now from this transaction.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Martin Hüsler from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. First of all, so according to my calculation, the solution and products will be roughly 20% of overall sales after the divestment of India. And I was just wondering, how should we think about the cake in size in 25? So far, I think, you know, we were assuming kind of a growing group. And now, after this divestment, obviously the cake in size is becoming much smaller. So should we think of in 25 that net sales will be below at the level, let's say, we were in 21?
Good morning, Martin. I think the opposite is true. When you saw our start of the year where we had sales growth of 20%, you can expect a very healthy 2022. You also saw how much now the new segment is contributing, but also how healthy our traditional segments are, also driven by significant price increases. So we have not the target to shrink the group. Our target and our mandate is to grow Holcim profitably. So you have to expect for 25. I think, as you mentioned, maybe Solutions Products is now around 20% of group sales, and we expect this to go to 30% for 25. That's our target. And for the group size, I very much believe that the group will be bigger than today. So we closed last year 26.8 billion Swiss francs in sales. I think this year will be, even if we have a smooth process and India goes out, I think we will close the year above that number. And for the coming year, I think my mandate is to grow the company and not to shrink it.
Okay, thank you. Maybe the second question, just to make sure again, if any of the investigations still pending in India would lead to a fine for Ambuja or ACC or other Ambuja, who would have to pay for it? You or the new owner then?
I think that would be the new owner, Martin. We sold the company with no indemnification and no warranties. It's a straightforward sales of the shares with no further indemnification from our side.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sia Bier from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have one as well. So the just wanted to understand, what's the main driver of the deal? Is it to pressure to cut carbon, or you thought that there's a better owner who could grow this business where the local management failed to do in India?
I think, you know, it's a combination. I think we made it clear that we want to grow the company also with this transformation portfolio. So we want to bring solutions and products to 30% of group sales already in the very near future. And in order to do this, we also need to shift a bit the portfolio. We need to divest a bit to raise money and to have money to invest through acquisitions. And this is what we are doing. And keep in mind, the last 50 months alone, we spent over 5 billion Swiss francs to buy Firestone, to buy Malaki, to buy PRB in France, but also to buy the other mortar companies in Poland and in Belgium. So I think they have a very good transformation progress here. When I look at our M&A pipeline, this is quite well filled. I think at the moment we are working on around 10 transactions. This ranks from the usual bolt-on acquisitions we do for aggregates and ready-mix concrete, but also to some exciting projects for solutions and products. So we're very optimistic that we will now further accelerate here the transformation. And the combination, what I maybe also want to add, is to divest something that only works for us if you also get a superior value. So we are not divesting just to divest. And you have seen that from us in the past, that we are well in the double-digit EBITDA multiples for all our divestments. Is it Brazil? Was Indonesia, Malaysia, was also the smaller markets in Africa, and this also what we did here for the transaction in India.
Okay. If I just ask a supplementary on the last part of your answer. So you clearly India was kind of the highest valued market at this point in time in terms of cement, and all other markets you would probably get a lower multiple. So does this mean that you're finding it difficult to exit other markets at this point in time?
No. It's, when you look how we do the divestments, we make it very responsibly and in very proper steps. And in India was something we were thinking, if we can get a win-win, and win-win means we have a proper responsible new owner who takes care of our people, who takes care of our customers, and then of course also who pays us a proper value, and that's what we achieved in the negotiations with the Adani Group.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Tobias Werner from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Jan and Holcim team. Thanks for taking my questions. Three, if I may, cheekily. You're clearly reducing your emerging market exposure with this divestment. India has a cement consumption per capita well below 250, still below 250. China above 1,500, well above 1,500 kgs. What is your view on Huaxin on the back of that in this context? It's also only you don't have full control. The second question is, there was some commentary around pharma, i.e. The Foreign Exchange Authority in India, that they could limit the amount of cash they take out. Is that an issue? And then thirdly, just quickly, the valuation, when you compare it to Lafarge India, sort of comes out at $160 a ton to $180, so Lafarge India being higher. Did you purposely not engage in any transactions where synergies could have been an issue or a cartel authority intervention? Thank you.
Look, to your last question, I think we did a very proper process, and you are right, we talked about this before, to make such a transaction, you have many dimensions to consider. So we talked about valuation, we talked about the new owner, and of course we talk about the smoothness of the execution of such a transaction, and this goes from indemnifications all the way, of course, to approval process by the Competition Commission of India, which is a very proper commission, of course. So it is not in our interest here to engage maybe with very competitive companies, and then you are hanging in there and you have a very lengthy process. So that was, of course, another consideration for us, and that we are happy that we found a solution where we could get the smoothest possible execution of this agreement. I think your questions for the emerging market, so I think while we talk a lot about the portfolio transformation, when it comes to our four business segments, cement, aggregates, ready-mix concrete, and solutions and products, and this goes, of course, in line with emerging markets versus mature markets. And this goes hands in hand. Our solutions products business is mostly focused on the mature construction markets, so meaning North America and Europe. And so we have a natural shift in the portfolio also, less emerging, more mature markets.
And with regard to pharma, is there any issues around potentially taking the money out of India for a time?
Pharma?
No, it's Tobias, it's an offshore deal, so there's no issues about getting the cash out of India.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Yuri Serra from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. It's a dramatic move, but can you please explain to us why now? What's the reason behind the timing? Thank you.
Yeah, why now? You know, and we talked about it. We have multi dimensions for such a transaction. So from valuation to new owner and also smoothness of the transaction. And we just had the right...
Can you hear me? We can hear and see you far away.
Yeah, the whole same company.
Are we all good?
In operation, it's quite a dramatic move. There were rumors flying around, so it was quite obvious that it was going to happen. But Holcim and India have been associated with the
We take the next question from Yasin Tuhari from On Field Investment Research. Please go ahead.
Just a follow-up question. When I look at the calculation that you provided on your slides, I don't see any taxes and any capital gain. Can you confirm that there is no capital gain and that there is no taxes in the transaction? Is it because it's an offshore vehicle? Just want the confirmation there.
Yes, that's correct. We have our analysis comes to the conclusion there's no capital tax gain or any other tax to be paid for this transaction.
Maybe a second one, if I can just very quick on the you mentioned that investment into solution and product, but would you consider share buyback if you don't find the right assets?
Well, you know, again, we have a good pipeline in M&A, so our job at the moment is to check all the transactions and hopefully we come up with some very attractive ones, if this is not possible, you know. I think if we could do no transactions now on the M&A side, I think the balance sheet might be a bit too healthy, and then, of course, we can think about all sorts of things to give back money to the shareholders. We are not against it. You know, we are very shareholder-focused management here. But our number one priority here at the moment is, of course, to put the money back to work.
Yeah, very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Sven Edelfeld from ODDO. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. So just one for me. When looking at the press release from Adani, the valuation from their point of view is said to be $10.5 billion. So can you explain the difference with your 11.3 billion Swiss francs? I guess it's not Forex related.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Thank you for the question. Happy to explain that. This is simply based on the fact that the Adani Group has also to make an offer to the other shareholders. So while we own 63% of Ambuja, and Ambuja owns 50.5% of ACC, there's a lot of other shareholders, minority shareholders, and he has to make a proper offers to all of them. So that's why he is assuming that his deal transaction size is beyond our 6.4 billion and 10 point something.
And they have to do a mandatory trading offer of a minimum of 26% on the floating. So that's what they're going to do. And if you take that, you will find that 10.5.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Very good. I think this was our last question, and thank you so much for joining us today. This was all very short notice, but I very much appreciate the opportunity. We can talk a bit about the background and give you some more information here. Svetlana and her team is, of course, available for you throughout the week to give you more data if you need that. Other than that, I hope to see you all soon, and I wish you a very good week. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.